I want to talk with you today about this wonderful Parsha, Ha'atzinu. It's a song, and it's a song that occurs at the end of Moses' life. You see, when there's a special song in the Torah, and this is actually to some extent true in the book of Revelation, in the Besorah, a song suggests a transition into a new phase, a new time, something very, very special. And so Moses offers two songs, one at the crossing of the Red Sea, and that, of course, was a seminal event in our history. And then, of course, this song, which he offers shortly before Israel moves into the Promised Land. And, of course, God told him that because he made a big mistake during the wilderness wanderings, he himself was not going to make it in. Again, a real transition period. And there is an aspect of this song that I want to share with you, and it has to do with the rock. The rock. Now, rocks, they have all kinds of connotations. One of my grandsons, Ari, loves rocks. I mean, this kid, he just loved rocks, big rocks, little rocks. And we were over the other day, and he insisted that I take home this little shiny rock because he was tired of this particular rock. But he has this whole collection of rocks. He loves rocks. And there's something about rocks. And we're going to see how the concept of rock, tsur, tsur is the Hebrew word, tsare, shirik, resh, tsur, how that can really help us in life, help us during these times we live in, help us understand God better. So, rocks, the song of Ha'atzinu, song at the time of transition. But in this song, five times it says that God is Israel's rock. And the idea of this song, which is not exactly complimentary of Israel, the idea of this song is to show that Israel, once Moses is gone, is going to depart from the Torah and have a lot of problems. And so the song is a rebuke in advance and a kind of motivator to not allow this to happen. But when I'm not with you anymore, Moses says, I know what you're going to do. You're going to depart from God. But the concept of rock here fundamentally is, though you depart, God will always be your rock and he will bring you back. That's the fundamental idea that we're dealing with here. So let's look at some of these passages. And if you're following along, it's good to follow along and engage your eyes and your hearing when we study together. But from chapter 32, verse 4 of Devarim, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he, the rock. The rock, the one you can count on, who's constant all the time, doesn't change, is not mercurial. He may be mercurial and get upset temporarily, but that's a function of his relationship with us, that he's not like the Greek stoic kind of detached gods, but rather he gets involved. But fundamentally, he is solid because he is a rock. Verse 15, Yeshurun grew fat and kicked. Filled with food, they became heavy and sleek. They abandoned the God who made them and rejected the rock, their Savior. And what do we have here? Again, the idea that, and it's just a sad commentary on the way we are, when things are tough, we want God. But how are you and how am I when things are relatively easy? And so God says, well, Israel, I'll tell you how you're going to be. You're going to go into the land. You're going to plant crops. You're going to make a few bucks. And within a generation or two, you're going to get very, very casual about me. You start showing up at services every third week because you have more important things to do. Make money and take care of house repairs or whatever it might be. And so he's predicting. And he says, they abandoned the God who made them and rejected the rock, their Savior. And so here, the concept of rejecting the one who himself is constant and steady, but we tend to turn away and reject him. Then in verse 18, you deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. And so here we have the idea of God not only the solid one and not only the God who provides, but even more profoundly, you rejected the rock who gave you birth. And here birth obviously means physical birth. We tend to think of physical birth as just this magnificent set of physiological things that occur in a woman hormonally and this and that, and then everything comes together. But there's much more to it than that. God is the author of birth. He created the mechanisms, as sophisticated as they are. He is the rock who gives us birth. And then, of course, the term means gave Israel birth. You are a bunch of wandering pagans who living in that pagan world of absolute fundamental insecurity. You had no rock. The gods were capricious. They played with you. They fooled you. They used you. You never know where you stood with those gods, and so you had to just give them food to eat to make sure that they wouldn't get mad. But that's not the way the rock is. The rock is steady. The rock can be counted on. He's the one who gave us birth, and yet the text says we turned away. Verse 30 and 31, how could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? For their rock is not like our rock. And so we have this question, how can you possibly find victory in life? How can you, when the chips are really down and there's thousands coming at you, how can just two of you chase them away? It's the rock. And our rock, Moses says, is not like their rock. Their rock, Pharaoh's rock, oh, they seem so great. Oh, there were big temples. Oh, they had all kinds of rigmarole. But at the end of the day, when God said to us, it's time to leave Egypt, we left Egypt. Because their rock, at the end of the day, is no rock. I don't care what rock is being presented to you. It's no rock compared to the rock. And that's an important thing. If you get that lesson, you really have got it all. Okay? Now, though Israel wanders, their rock is constant. And as we think about the perplexities of life, and maybe even in kind of a unique way as we're heading for a national election with all of the confusion and all of the anxiety that seems to be producing just generally in the United States and maybe around the world too, boy, we need our rock. You know what I mean by that? You need the rock. I need the rock. We need the rock. But the rock is there. He speaks of consistency and solidity and unchanging purpose. He's the rock. But there's more. The rock not only gives birth, and not only protects, and not only is that solid presence through the ups and downs of vicissitudes of life, but the rock provides. Now, here, I'm referring to a passage in Exodus, the book of Exodus, the book of Shemot. Could somebody please look up Exodus 17, 5 through 7? And when you get it, just read it out loud. Go ahead there, Rebecca.
Adonai said to Moses, walk before the people and take of the elders of Israel with you, along with your staff with which you struck the river. Take it in your hand and go. Behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb. You are to strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people can drink. Then Moses did just so in the eyes of the elders of Israel. The name of the place was called Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of Bnei Yisrael, and because they tested Adonai, saying, is Adonai among us or not?
Thank you. Now, this is a very important passage because this is the passage where Moses strikes the rock and he gets in trouble. But here, the rock provides water. And that's not an uncommon geographical feature. In other words, there's rock, subterranean water, that when the rock is hit, the water gushes forward. And let me tell you something about water. In this part of the world, we are desensitized to the importance of water. And you know why? Because we turn the faucet on and it's there. But it can be argued that one of the great destabilizing aspects of life in the future is going to be who controls water because of changes in the environment and whatnot. Water's a big deal. But in Israel, everyone knows water's a big deal. It's life or death. You can go a month or so without food, but how long can you go without water? We can't go very long. But here, in this passage, the rock provides for the people. Now, there is a very interesting midrash about this rock, and that the rock wasn't a stationary rock, but that though rocks are normally stationary, this rock followed Israel through the wilderness, providing that water. It's a midrash. That rock follows Israel through the wilderness and provides for the people. And what's very interesting is that in the Besorah, there is a passage where the Apostle Paul, who we call Rav Shaul, where he actually builds on this midrash and speaks of the great giver, Messiah himself. Listen to this. This is from the first letter he wrote to the Corinthian believers, and I'm in chapter 10 and verse 4. For I do not want you to be ignorant of this fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea, and they were all immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So here we have a picture of an immersion, and the immersion, one of its ideas is one becomes attached to a new regime, a new kingdom, and therefore a new king. And so here the people are symbolically attached at a profound level to Moses once they leave Egypt and cross over the sea, and they're connected with Moses and his regime in a profound way. And so they're connected with him all under the cloud. That's the cloud that led Israel through the wilderness and through the sea, the picture of an immersion and being in this new sphere. They were all immersed into Moses at the cloud and at the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. Food and drink. We think of manna. We think again of the rock providing water. And he says that the rock, this rock, which followed them, was none other than Messiah himself. That's what it says. I'll read it again. For they drank from the same spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Messiah. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness, and that very much echoes, I don't think intentionally, but perhaps intentionally, Ha'azinu, the passage that we are reading today. So Yeshua, then, is the rock, the present and unchanging one who supplies. And aren't we glad that that's the case? And aren't we glad to know the rock? And I want to just ask you to keep trusting the rock. No matter what way elections go, the ups and downs, this or that, life is just the way life is. No matter what, you keep trusting that rock. And everything is going to be okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone.